You know, when I was there in Africa, I was very much touched to see people the way they are living. Life is difficult. Believe me, I'm not just going because it's fun. It's fun because my family is there and I love Africa. But far as easy life, it is not easy. Me and my wife, 12 by 24, I mean, the little place for a bathroom is right here. In my little office here. And one time, two times, God saved my life. I was taking, we didn't have a car, and I was catching a bus, and these people came by, and I was trying to stop them. You know, you go like this, and they didn't pick me up, and I was kind of upset. I said, man, they could give me a ride, you just pass me, boom, and I was in a hurry to get downtown. And guess what? Another taxi came. And I just love Africa. He asked me, he said, how much do you want to pay? Because he can tell. I'm not from there. I said, no, you know the price. So he started to fight. I said, no, I don't take you. So I take the next one. And guess what? I saw the bus who didn't pick me earlier flip like this and a lot of dead people. And I called my wife. I started to cry. And two times, you know, but it's what is beautiful is the way God always protects his people. Doesn't matter where you are, but you are in God's will. He's going to always watch over you. So when I came back, one scene that really shocked me is every time I go and preach in churches and sometimes in Central African people, refugee who are living in Cameroon and started churches. And I saw the condition of living, man, it's shocking. This is my people. And one of the girls, she was only 13, beautiful girl. They called me to say she's dead. And the father wanted me to come and pray and encourage them. So when I came, I said, what's wrong? Why she passed? Because they didn't have $6 to buy the malaria medication. And I got so mad with the father. I said, why you didn't call me? And so when we came back, God lay on my heart. I said to my wife, you know what? I'm going to go to school and learn how to build. And when I go back, I can help people. I can't just preach and live good life and see people in the misery and say, okay, God bless you. No. Because missionaries live a different life in Africa. They don't live like African, and we don't expect them to live like an African, but there's a minimum they can do to help us to show love. And that's what mom and dad did. First time when I came to a white man's house, when I go to the village, it's a town, but to us now living in America, I look back, it's like a village. Because when my wife got to Africa the first time, she said, when are we going to the capital? My brother said, we are in the capital. You know? So, but when mom and dad took me over to their house, I was like this and afraid. I'm in the white man's house. And look around. And when I go to the village, people ask me how they eat. Everybody come and ask me questions. They want to know. They want to know you. And they give me this privilege to tell, oh, they are like us. Because you cannot preach to people about Jesus and not people knowing about you, that you are sinners. Saved by God's grace. My sister came here to America and she told my wife, she think white men doesn't sin and there's no thieves and everything is good with them. My wife said, what? You say, yeah. Because they don't know. And so they cannot. You see, the message you bring into African, it doesn't match because we look at you, everything is well with you. And you're telling me about Jesus, that's, I need Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm starting to think, sinner about what? You're not disconnected. Because you have to tell me how that gospel changed your life. And then it meant something to me. But if it's you just bring it to me, then Africans start to think, oh, the white man is bringing pardon me, my language, I'm trying to help you to picture the relationship between Africa and us and America, because I'm American now. And African will tell you, oh, they bring the message and talking about serve, about being servant, about this, because the white man want us to continue to serve them, and they come and take our gold, diamond, and everything. And, oh, God wants you to forgive. Oh, they take our land and they ask us to forgive them. One of the men was preaching, not preaching, talking on the TV, and he said, why are they talking to us about asking God to forgive us? What did we do? Who came and colonized Africa? Who came and take our diamond? They have a right to ask God to forgive them. Not us. We didn't do anything. And some of those pastors started to say, oh yeah, maybe he's right. Because they didn't get the gospel like it's supposed to be preaching to Africans. And that's the main reason I want to go back and help. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to school. And we start to talk about it. Some people say, oh, you going, here go your support. You know, I'm sometimes crazy. I said, you know what? We don't care about support. And I'm telling you the truth, because God can provide. I'm not in it to make money. I want to make money. I will be working for UN. I speak 5 languages. I know Africa. I studied politics when I was in France. I did a lot of stuff. But it's not about money. Who can pay me? It's about serving God, telling people about Jesus. And I told one of the person, I said, I'm going to school anyway. I went to the Newcastle School of Trade, and I graduated with dean list. I'm on the dean list. I'm not done. I know I'm done. You know what? All everybody, all my professors say, oh, you stay here. They call me gold hands. They said, you stay here, you can make it. That's how the world think. Make it what? It's important. We have to think. We Christians. You know, it's important. The work of God. More important than anything else. And God will, we're going to be going. Many of people like you give, use tools, many stuff, and we put in the container, we're going to go take it to Africa, and I'm planning to set up a school where we can train young people. You see why many join rebels? They don't have anything to do. Idle. Do you think the government care about people? No, they're trying to blame the West. Everything is the French, white man. But they are president. What are they doing for their own people? Nothing. So we got to blame somebody. But going back, I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm going to be training you here. Somebody give me all the equipment for dental clinic. We will put in place. And it had been a long time, but God timing is the right time. It's going to Africa. It's going to happen. Even if I don't get to enjoy it, it's about leaving an inheritance to the next generation. So you pray for us as we go back, and we're going to be putting a church in place and hospital and everything, and you're going to be good. And maybe God can call some of you as a nurse, doctor, who knows? We have to answer to the call. But my time, what time, Pastor? I don't want to, you know, in Africa we preach 2 hours. 11:30? That's good. I got 25 minutes. So, Pastor DeMar, thank you so much. You always look up for us. You call. He has been supporting even now. One time I was in Africa, and God is so good. We were a little bit down. You know, it get tough. And he called. He's cool. He talked just calmly. How is the ministry? And we sending you some money to help you. And I feel like I want to dance, but he can't see. See me dancing. So he said, this church has been a blessing and encouragement to our ministry. And thank you so much. I want to speak to you this morning from the book of Hebrew. And doctor has been talking about my message, and I keep saying, no, don't go over there. You know, so it's a Hebrew chapter 9 and verse 27. I'm going to ask Dad to lead us in prayer, please.
Our Father, and our God, we thank you and praise you for scriptures, and now, Father, you've called him back to the land there. We would pray that you'll continue to bless him and Sylvia as they minister there. Work with them, through them, we pray, to the hearts of these people. And then, Father, we're praying for those who've already been saved. And then, Father, under the persecution of so much going on over there, we pray that you'll protect them. Keep them safe, Lord, from any harm and danger, we ask. And be with the families of those who have already died. And then, Father, we pray that you'll bless Bruno as he gives forth thy message to us this morning. From thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let me give you a fact that shouldn't surprise you this morning. Unless Jesus Christ returns in our lifetime, we are all going to die. You may tell me this morning, we all know that. What is the point? And my point I'm trying to make it is many people are trying to deny the death. Oh, we don't talk about it. And you know how they try to do that? And I just love America. It's a great country, man. I every day I thank God giving me this great nation and country. Because everything is decent. It's so organized and beautiful. Even when they're talking about somebody pass away, they say, he lay to rest. He passes away. Us in Africa, we rough. We say, he's dead. Lokuyawe, he's dead. Yeah. But the reality is, this morning is to bring us face to face with the reality and to help us to answer the question, what awaits us behind the grave? Because if you are in Christ Jesus, then you are laid to rest. You maybe pass away. Like doctor said yesterday, is he said it's you just lay in peace, and it's like I was reading one time that somebody was talking about the death of believers. It's like somebody going to the hotel and spend a night, and the next day he's out, because you in hotel is not forever. And so we just pass to eternity. But in this world, people have a lot of opinions. Some of them, like atheists, will say, yeah, idiots. Amen. They will say, there is nothing behind the death. Universalists would say God is waiting with an open arm to receive everyone. But how much these people do really know about death? Have you been there? My favorite story is the dog and goat. I think I told you that before. One of the elderly pastor, when I was back in Africa last 4 years, I was talking to within the big congregation, and some of them are trying to say, oh, they asked me questions about America and the life here. And I was telling them, and some of them, like they doubting or they saying something contrary. And this elderly person stood up and said, I got a word to say. In Africa, we respect our elders. And everybody was quiet. He said, there's a proverb, a dog and a goat went to hunt. And during the hunt, the dog came home and said, man, he told the village people, he said, the fire, because in Africa, when we hunt, we just sit the just like in California, sit the wood in, fire, and then all the animals start to run and all burn, and we go around and pick them up. Life is easy. So, but the dog said it's the fire was too hot, and then the goat said, no, it's not hot, we can go hunt. And they start to fight. So the chief village called both of them, the dog and the goat. He said, come here, what is going on? And everybody relates, tell the side of the story. And the chief village asked the goat, he asked the dog, why are you saying that? The dog said, you can see on my fur, got burned by fire. I was there. I escaped the fire. He said, what about you? Go? Have you been there? No. He said, you need a lot of beating. And many of these people to me are like goats. Have you been in heaven? Have you came from heaven? They have nothing to tell us about the death. Only Jesus came out of heaven. He knows what he's talking about. I don't care how much you know. You're a philosopher or whoever. You know what I depend on it? The word of God. It never lies. It tells the truth. Jesus knows about the death. Death is an appointment. The first thing we need to know about death is that it's not a random event. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto, nobody can miss it. Every person who has ever lived will die by appointment. We heard about our brother who went to Cameroon as a missionary. He dies there. An appointment. We didn't like the circumstances, how it happens. But in God's will and sovereignty, he knows why it happened there. So everybody, people may be late for a lot of things. For church, we showed up late. For work in Africa, if you want to start church, you tell people, we're going to start the church at 8. In reality, you want to start like at 10 or 11. So by 11, you can have everybody. Because everybody is late, and they're coming with the high heel kick, 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 and everybody will turn and look. That's Africa. And we love that. That's life. But this appointment, everyone will be on time for it. Because it has been set by God. You know, the story is told of a man who came face to face with death one day. The man was standing on a street corner in this city when a stranger walked by. The stranger looked at the man in surprise but told nothing and kept on walking. When the man learned that the stranger was death, he became afraid and went to a wise friend for advice. Death just walked by and looked surprised to see me. What should I do? The wise friend said, if I were you, I'd flee to another city far away. So the man got ready and that night fled to a faraway city. But as he was walking on the street of that city the next day, he was horrified to run into death. I thought I left you behind in my home city yesterday. The terrified man said to the death. Death replied, that's why I was so surprised to see you there yesterday, for I have an appointment to meet you here today. So you cannot miss it. All of us have a God-ordained appointment with death. We will most definitely keep when the time comes. It can be avoided or missed. Once you accept that reality, it can help you better prepare for it rather than living in denial. Death is a connection. I look for the definition. Some people said, it's a destination, limit, expiration, extinction, extermination, end of all things, finality, disease, demise, dissolution, departure. All kind of definition, but the Bible give us the best explanation. The common idea of death at the end of human existence is not what the Bible means when it talks about death. In the Bible, death is involved separation, but never cessation. People think they're going to die, that's it. I turn into some kind of monkey or maybe trees. That's not true. When God created man, Adam was laying there as a big lump of dirt until God
breathed into him
the breath of life, and he became a human being. Without the soul, the body is not important there. It's not going to do you much. And I'm going to try to go quicker for the time sake. And, you know, Paul said, we are confident, I say, and we are rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. That's whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He said, for I am in a strait big too, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord Christ, be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It doesn't sound like expected to go into a deep sleep here. Wow, there's a lot. At the moment of death, our soul passes immediately into consciousness existing in eternity, either in heaven or hell. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And the Bible never lied. You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, turn with me over there quick. For the sake of time, we're going to advance to make my point. Luke chapter 16. And verse 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sore. Wow, Jesus gave a picture of what happened when we die, peeling back a corner of eternity and desire to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. You see this picture here, two people, rich man and poor man. The Bible said, call him, his name is Lazarus, is a true story. He's a beggar. And he didn't have much to eat. Life was difficult for him. But the big difference is he knows Jesus. It's very important. If you don't know Jesus, then there's a problem. What will you do, or what will happen to you when you die without Christ? That depends on you, on what you will do with Jesus. You know, the Bible said God took the stings of the death. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy stings? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through who? Jesus Christ. The very man people don't want to believe in him. And many of my African brethren are going to end up in the lake of fire because they keep rejecting Christ, thinking it's not our God. But who is our God? The stone our great-grandfather used to pray? No, I'm not going to pray to a wood, putting a little eggs around the trees and coming about like this. That's not God. Jesus is the creator of the universe. And that's the man we needed. And one day a little boy was riding in the car with his father when a bee flew and through the window and started buzzing around. The boy began to scream, the bee is going to sting me. But his father reached out and grabbed the bee. He held it in his hands for a few seconds, then released it. The bee began to buzz again around, and the boy started to cry again. But the father said, son, you don't have to be afraid. All the bee can do now is make noise. That's beautiful. Death doesn't scare anybody. When you are in Christ Jesus, the sting of death is sin. Jesus Christ beat it. I have a lot of family born in the family of 12 children. Many of my family are past, and I'm hoping in Jesus Christ and not the hope, which is, oh, I may hope. No. My hope in Jesus, I'm going to see mom and dad and all my brothers in Christ someday. So when I die, it's going home. And this rich man, just like a Hollywood. Did you see the people from Hollywood? Oh, I love it. Sometimes I watch it too. Because I need to refresh my mind and see how people do here. You see those beautiful ladies. And they drag the long robes and walking. I told my wife, man, they're dancing. That's not walking. You walk like this, right? But those ladies, you know, showing off and all kind of a limo, good life and champagne, kick it. That's the kind of life. They don't think about God. God is nothing. He's not in the picture. The beautiful life is what is the most important to them. The looks, the outside. They neglected the very important, their soul. But when they die, it changed. Oh, jet, private jet. You see, it's people, right? Some houses, I like to just drive and see the homes. Beautiful. Sometimes I feel like I want to take my shoes before I get inside of it. It will pass, my friend. I'm not going to lose my soul over those junks. When the person dies, I tell you know what happened? He went to sleep. No. Directly to the hell. H-E-L-L. Hell. People don't want to talk about it. Yes, if you can't talk about it, then why sending missionaries? People need to know there is a danger coming ahead of them. And Lazarus, now, he died the poor. He was sick. He's a believer. And on the top of that, he was sick and poor. You want to see a true poor people go to Africa. I saw some of the situation. I don't want to tell you about it. And he was dead. But what is so great? Then the angels carry him into the bosom of Abraham. Secure. Good life. Peace. Wow. Lazarus has made a context. Even saying, oh, if you want to store the garbage of these rich people, bring them to me. I'm going to dig and find something to eat. He lived a miserable life. What kind of life is that? You believe in God and you're living that kind of life? But it's temporarily. Remember, I'm saying this with the respect, but to help you understand the picture. You see, when President McCain died, Senator McCain's died, right? Oh, I follow on the TV. The airplane, you know, making all the paying all the respect, all the military walking, you know, it's so beautiful how it's organized. You see the symphony, the song, and so forth. I think pastor here, very many people here this week or so, this is not the same case. Mm-mm. Maybe these people went unknown, but the one on the TV, everybody, beautiful. Show, big show, limo. But that's not the truth behind it. He died and now he's crying. Huh? Oh man, that's the reality now. I'm in hell. Abraham, help me. Please, I need a help. Save me from this place. Abraham said, you remember, so when people die, they still think, eh? They have a memory, eh? Don't fool yourself. You're not dying and go to sleep. Today you die, boom, you're in God's presence or in hell. And this guy started to say, oh, man, help me. Abraham, he said, I can help you. Wow. How can you not help me? He said, did you remember Hollywood? Jet private? That's your life. You enjoyed it. And him, and by the way, God put a big gate here. We can cross over there and cross here. Okay. Well, then can you send people to go and tell my brethren about not to come here? So a dead, still remember, he had brother and sisters. It's so important, and we're playing with it. You know there's no purgatory. There's no other place of second chance. When you die, that's it. Fini. And that's why we have to be burned by... How can I speak to American people to understand the fire? How much more are we spending on the things which are not going to last, and we neglect the very important souls of our families? I was talking to my wife last night, and he calmed me down because I was fired after the show yesterday. The exposition, the with the doctor, and I was talking to my wife about one of the friends who I was there in the house trying to witness to her niece, and the niece, and he told me the niece doesn't want to hear. So when you come to my house, we don't talk about it. You are in my house, I talk about Jesus. If you're not happy, you go. Period. Because these people, when they get to the hell, they're going to look back and say, cousin, why you didn't tell me about Jesus? Even though I didn't want to hear, why you didn't force me and on me, and so I can listen to why you done me this. We are doing wrong to people because we're so polite with the flower and the respect, and we don't want to hurt nobody's feeling. No, you're doing them good. It's not a play here. It's not a play. It's very important. But these people, how many who did believe in God? Not many. The very crossroad is, well, I got too close. But what the rich people did, he made that decision. That's it. It's too late. And Abraham said, too bad. But do you know after that, because when we talk about Abraham, Jesus Christ haven't come yet, right? Then Jesus came. How many people believe? Now all of it, some. So it's our responsibility to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. This man is stuck forever and ever and ever and ever without no end. You know, there's a miracle all happening around us. We don't want to see it. It's God doing his work. And sometimes we close our eyes for just a short period of time. I'm 50 years old, 53. Maybe I got only 7 years. That put me to 60. God is going to call me home. What is it compared to eternity? When you die, your destiny, it's sealed. Is God did not accept the guy because he was rich? No. He accepted the other beggar because he suffered so much. Come to me. And no. It's a choice. A choice to believe or not. What kept the rich man out of heaven was not his wealth, nor did poverty alone earn Lazarus a reward. Each had made a choice to believe or not to believe. Because we have the freedom to choose Christ. There is no reason for any human being to go to hell still. Hell remains our destination until the moment we unconditionally surrender our lives to the Savior. No other decision in life deserves more attention than this one. You know, I will close with this example. I got it from somewhere. He said, imagine draining forever is a long time. And imagine draining all the water out of the Pacific Ocean and replace it with sand. Then build that sand pile higher and higher until it is as tall as Mount Everest. You know, Everest. I don't pronounce maybe right, but you got the idea. Now picture a bird that flies in every 500 years and carries away one grain of sand each trip. When the bird finally returns for the last grain of sand, 1 second will have ticked by in eternity. Eternity is an awful long time to have made a wrong decision. Do you think why this man is here talking to you about the prophecy? To entertain? To get us feel good? No. To prick, to get something inside your mind and your heart to be burned for Jesus. And don't you want people to be in eternity with you? This beautiful place. Jesus, that's, I told my wife, we're going to lose our mind because we're not used to a real peace. By being with Jesus, no tears, peace, no discrimination, no racism, no nothing. It's going to be my Savior, my Lord. True love. We never experienced. We're going to be able to live it. And many of our family members are going to miss it because we want to be political correctness. We don't want to, oh, don't rob her on the wrong side. You're not helping. And that's the reason why you see me leaving here to go back to Africa. It's not just because the beauty of country. America is beauty. Beautiful. But God gave us a command. Jesus, when he was leaving, he said, don't stand here and staring. Go get busy. Go tell people about me. I'm coming back. Amen? I'm coming back. Get busy. Tell people about Jesus. And this is the Great Commission. This is the responsibility of everyone this morning. May God bless you, Pastor. I give back to you. As your personal Savior, and the altar is open to you. You just come and do business with God, or you can talk to me, talk to doctor or pastor, or man, pastor, and missionary here. And this is not something to put off or play with it. It's imminent. Like our brother was saying, Jesus can return even right now. We don't know when. So I hope the word of God spoke to you this morning, and we're going to pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ to say thank you again for who you are and for caring so much about us. Even we were yet sinner, Christ came and died on the cross so we can have eternal life. And Lord, I want to thank you for my personal salvation. And for saving me, and Lord, I don't want to keep that good news to myself, and give me strength, and each one of us here this morning, Lord, to go and tell people, other people about you, about your goodness, about your salvation, about your death on the cross of Calvary, that you care for us and you want to save us. Thank you so much for your great concern and your protection and what you're doing for your church. Bless the ministry here and Pastor DeMar and all his folks and every brother and sister who came out this morning. And thank you for the brother, doctor who came and tried to share with us about your coming. And Lord, we love you. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.